So the infernal proprium is our identification with the love of self and love of the world. So that's the identity that's built up through contact with the world, if you like. But proprium can't see. It's blind, right? So what sees is what is good and true. So it's only what is good and true that can bring perspective. But that seeing is the Lord seeing, but giving it to us as if it is our own. So then we can respond or have some sense of agency in the process. And so when you think about the term self-righteousness, right, it's a rightness attributed to self, which is proprium. And of course, just through, you know, what we're reading here, it's clear that it can never be right about anything because it only operates from self-interest. That's all it's capable of doing. So where it says Jehovah made firm or hardens the heart of Pharaoh, the ridiculousness of that statement is if you transpose love for Jehovah. So the activity of love being extended shows up that which is hateful of what is of a spiritual quality. That's definitely one of the things that stood out for me in this reading was that if you engage with the word with a view to using its truths for the purpose which they are given, then this very process described here has to unfold. So, you know, you can't avoid the seeing of the sores breaking forth in pustules. You know, like that's a pretty stark kind of image of the proprium. But this idea of Moses and Aaron taking fistfuls of ash, but it's Moses that casts it up, not Aaron. So if you think about this in terms of our process, then Aaron represents our understanding of the word, whereas Moses represents what is above our understanding at an unconscious level. So when we actually make an effort to engage with the text, then the process is initiated and we have no control over it. It's going to happen. So what's cast up is cast up to heaven in the eyes of Pharaoh. So just remember, heaven is defined here as the good of love and the truths of faith. That's how it's defined. And then it talks about societies of heaven coming closer causes this disruption. And so societies of heaven, if you abstract it from the idea of persons, then what you have is an organized form of good and truth or doctrine, forms of understanding of the word, which are beginning to become established on a lower level. So those structures are being instilled into the mind. And because they're instilled into the mind on a lower level, then what is higher can make its presence felt lower down. And that's what this revealing is. And the scattering of the ashes in the eyes of Pharaoh has to do with the revealing of the falsity of the natural man or the natural mind when it's built on the love of self and love of the world. And of course, that covers the earth, man, and beast. And then when that falsity is dispersed, then the evils that sit underneath it are revealed. And that's the sores and the pustules starting to be seen. So the process has got to a point where the rationalizations represented by what the magicians can spin to conceal things or give themselves authority, or, you know, so those things that are happening within our own minds in terms of justifying the self and all of that, even that now is exposed for what it is because the sore is also upon them. So that's kind of a powerful image of how there's this breakdown going on, leading ultimately to the liberation of the sons of Israel, which is what is of the Lord that's trapped in the appearances that the natural spins. So what's being seen is the nature of proprium. And all that has to take place before liberation can come, because unless there's a willingness to let it go, you can't be liberated. And I think there's a shift in state whereby it becomes accepted that that's what the work is. You know, because in a earlier phase, if you like, a different kind of state, we often would read the text and it would be, oh, I won't do that because this is what happens, but I'll, you know, I'll make sure I do this aspect and I'll be okay. So you kind of have this dualistic identification with one side or the other, whereas what the true choice is about choosing to embrace the process and live from what the word says is true, understanding that the process will lead to this kind of seeing. It's not about giving us material or information so we can avoid it. It's so that we can be supported through it. You know, the Lord told the disciples a number of times as to what needed to happen, but they were incapable of seeing it because it didn't fit with their worldview or how they saw things. And it was in reflection that they saw the truth of what had been laid out for them. And it's the same with us. It's not until we have the experience of the text working in our life that we then can see that, oh, yeah, that's what it's about. And that actually strengthens the person because they've managed to go through something and they can see now that it was part of the order of bringing about a new state.